Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome again to a special episode of Whiskey Congress. This is special for a variety of reasons. One, we're not going to go topical and political. And two, Ben is back with us. Ben, who supplied us with great rum and whiskey, back here joining us. And in my previous conversations with Ben, he talked about his opinions on social media, which are wildly different than mine. Now, Steve was not there for that conversation, although we're all together in the Cleveland studio.
Hello.
Hello, yes. And so... Ben, throw out your Twitter handle again.
Sure. Twitter handle, just existential, EXIS10TIAL on Twitter. You can find me there.
You're a great follow on Twitter, and lots of people follow you, so that's a good thing. We are at Whiskey Congress on Twitter. I have my personal one, but I'm going to leave that out because it's kind of part of the conversation.
Sure.
Because what other social media are you on, Ben?
Nothing else.
Absolutely nothing else.
just
absolutely
Twitter.
Absolutely nothing else. Now. Yeah,
I was just going to say, obviously, as Jim pointed out, you know, and I'm really curious to hear Steve's take on a lot of this stuff because we didn't get a chance to dive in as a trio here, but, you know, social media, obviously very pervasive. I think one of the baselines for this conversation is that it's important to recognize that social media is something that's relatively new to our culture from a sociological standpoint.
Absolutely. Not relatively. It's world-changing.
It's baby new.
Right.
It's still got the new baby smell.
Yeah.
And yet it's evolved so much.
But it's a new baby that shit itself.
Yeah. So there's the law of accelerating returns. I don't know if you guys ever read about that through a futurist out there, a guy named Ray Kurzweil, if you've ever heard
of him. I don't know that name.
Ray Kurzweil. Have you probably heard of Kurzweil keyboards?
No.
A musical instrument?
I'm the most musically inept person you'll ever
meet. Don't go down that road with him.
No worries. Yeah, but he's a guy that's in the leading charge right now of artificial intelligence. He's actually an engineer at Google right now. But Ray Kurzweil is a guy that's put out a ton of content, and he talks about the law of accelerating returns. And to that extent, to your point, the trajectory of growth with social media tends to reflect his kind of paradigm. They're kind of like Moore's Law, right?
You've heard
of Moore's Law with regard to computing power.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, it's very pervasive, and it's just something that I think our frame of reference for social media should always be that we're still learning as we go, because it didn't exist in a meaningful way even just 10 years ago.
Right, sure.
And so now, how has it impacted our society and our culture on a broader scale, and to what extent do we actually have enough self-awareness to recognize it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it all dovetails into everything we're doing right now with a podcast, right? I mean, imagine a podcast 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Sure. Right.
So it's a wild concept, and it's something that's completely radically changed the way we communicate.
And social media is actually how we built this podcast, right?
Right.
I mean, we between Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, a website, all those things, we sort of kind of strung them together and reached out. And I think our largest reach is on Twitter.
Right.
It was all of those sort of things. And then learning how those things work, like the timing on Instagram posts or understanding the necessary to be very responsive on Twitter.
Right.
Facebook is the one where we're probably the least engaged, and I've studied that one the most, but my personal issue is that I have serious concerns with Facebook.
Sure.
Right? From a privacy standpoint, just from how they operate, how they suggest that you garner followers, like the other social media platforms, like there's a more natural way to do it. It's not as fast as if you boost and all those other things and pay.
Sure.
But you can do it on Facebook. They pretty much say, listen, if you want to grow, you need to pay.
It's a monetization model.
Sure, period. For sure. Like if you want to grow, you need to pay. And if you're not going to pay, we will make sure that you don't grow.
Right.
And that's the frustrating part about it. So on the one hand, people say you have to be on Facebook, you have to be on Facebook. But at the same time, it's just like, well, once you're there, the only way to really grow is if you're willing to invest X number of dollars every day or every week or every month. Then it's just like, I'd rather just put my energy into something else where I can do it naturally. as opposed to just shoveling dollars into it.
So you guys feel like the Twitter model is more organic, essentially.
Don't put us in the same boat here, because I fucking love Facebook.
You love it.
I love Mark Zuckerberg.
Do you guys battle it out over this shit?
Well, we don't talk about it that much, to be honest with you, because we this is more something we argue about at the bar,
right?
Rather than, so you're not on Facebook. He's on Facebook and uses it quite a bit, but generally complains about how much he hates a lot of things about it.
Hold on.
Pause. Well, let me speak for you.
I use Facebook literally to connect with close friends, close family, right? I have about 500 people network.
Sure.
Right? Which is about 100 or about probably 400 people too many.
Right.
But a big part of it is just staying connected to friends and family. And then you got those people that are kind of on the outskirts that, you know what, I don't necessarily mind being connected to you in some way, shape, or form. And I found it beneficial where I'm connected to that person from law school that I haven't talked to in 10 years. I have a legal question that I know, like, this is what they specialize in. And I can go to them and I can reach out to them via Facebook and say, hey, can we connect on another platform? So, you know, I can run this by you. Right. And there's value to that. And that's that and sharing pictures of my daughter with my extended family. Those are the only two reasons I'm on actively on Facebook.
Sure.
I mean, most of my Facebook posts are like my random musings. Right. Like, you know, like my daughter had her first dance recital last week. And then I just literally laid out about 15 different observations of a dance recital that I came across, questions that I had and thoughts that I had, right? And that was literally it. I have completely made sure that I'm done with the political stuff. We do this podcast, but I don't talk politics on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm in the same boat. I used to be politically on all over Facebook. In fact, I believe a political fight I got in Facebook cost me a really good job. Right. And maybe this is paranoia on my part, but this company wanted me bad.
Right.
And I knew who they were, and I knew some of their management. I knew they were very conservative. And in this argument, I was as left as it could get. And it was ugly, and I used some words that I maybe shouldn't have. And like a day later, they were like, we're not interested in this guy. Like, really? And this was 2015 or 14. And I don't think I had my page private.
Right, right.
And I continued being political on Facebook for years after that. And about 2 or 3 years ago, I just went into the whole, I've never changed anyone's mind on Facebook. No one has ever changed my mind on Facebook.
Nobody's there to get convinced of anything.
Well, you know, and it gets ugly. Though,
for me, is that I've had people on social media make a point, and I've gone and I've looked information up, and I've said, you know what? It's a valid point.
Sure.
And I'll be like, you know what? I was wrong, or I can completely see your side. But I realize, like, there's not a lot of other people out there that are willing to do that. Now, it doesn't make me anything special.
Sure.
But it just, okay, like, that's Gandhi. Gandhi was kind of a racist dick. Don't compare that.
he was. All right, stop it.
He was.
Okay, I'm not going to fight about what, I don't know Gandhi's racism.
Gandhi really had an issue with black people. When
he was in South Africa?
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about social media. Let's not talk Gandhi.
Okay.
My fault.
But point being, you know, for the most part, like, you're right. The idea that you're never going to change anyone's mind, they're not going to change yours. And so I abandon it, right? Like, I abandon the idea of talking politics. I keep it very, like, sort of whimsical.
Personal,
sort
friends
of
fun. And family.
Personal. Just, you know, sort of things. Like, I mean, people I haven't seen in a long time, they say, hey, I love the post of the pictures of your daughter.
Sure, sure.
And just the funny shit you say.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm smoking a cigar in Florida. Check this out.
Yeah, or you know, when I'm arguing with soccer mom in minivan on the highway because she won't let me on. Or, you know, I'm like, I'm angry at the weather gods because I'm trying to smoke a rack of ribs and like it's raining and 40 degrees in June. Like, just those sort of things are what I put out there.
That's a recent personal experience. You're so bent on
the shape of it. We'll get to the climate change though at some point. We're going to have that conversation.
That may be the thing that changes my mind on climate change. Like, I can't smoke my meat. But I mean, like, and so I guess my position on social media is, from a business standpoint, I think it can be a really powerful tool because there's so much data. And I think that all the platforms have different capabilities in terms of the way they gather data, because Twitter is really, really fast. Right. Like, so you have to get the rhythm of Twitter.
It's real time, yeah.
And it's real time. So you have to get that rhythm and you have to be willing to put in time to pay attention to it, to react and engage and get a response from it. Facebook is kind of like that, but they've changed their algorithms to a point. So you have to, like, with Facebook, you really have to dig in to figure out what the algorithms are to figure out the exposure. And I believe, my personal opinion is that the bottom line algorithm with Facebook in terms of growth comes down to money that you're willing to spend. And Instagram is a little bit of a combination of both. One, because it's owned by Facebook, but at the same time, because of the nature of Instagram before they took it over, they couldn't completely bastardize it. So there's still a certain rhythm to Instagram as well in terms of learning what are peak times to post, what are the right hashtags to use, and by the way, on Instagram, which is dominated by pictures, the better quality of your pictures and videos, you know, the better the growth.
You're touching on some interesting points, and I think we actually got to zoom out and think about it a little differently because we're getting granular with this in terms of which platform is best and the timing and everything.
They all suck.
They all suck in a certain way. Right. But here's the issue. The psychology behind our participation in social media is what I want to kind of more focus. Because everything you post, even if it's an innocuous post about your daughter's dance recital, psychologically you're still posting it with the expectation and, in fact, the hope that you're going to get interaction, that there's going to be some type of... It's either validation... Or it's, in some cases, particularly on Twitter, I will say that this is the case. You get people that disagree with you. You get
competition. Yeah, you're looking for a fight. You're jumping to the pond and looking for
And to your Twitter war. Yeah, like people, you know, and then they push the popcorn gifs when they see something they want to see. It's like a cage match, right?
Is that the Michael Jackson shoving popcorn?
I'm notorious for posting just the eyes looking like, what's going on here?
But do you know what I'm saying? It's very rare that we kind of reflect on that and recognize it for what it is, which is, it is an act that, I mean, again, myself, I'm as guilty as anybody. Anything I post, I want to see people validate it.
Absolutely.
That's just human psychology.
Someone that all three of us know, actually.
Sure.
I posted, this is on Facebook, but I posted a picture of me with my arm all busted up because I got drunk and fell on it, whatever, not the smartest, proudest moment of my life.
Sure.
And she came out and said, you're just doing this because it gets you attention. I'm like, every social media post is about attention.
That's exactly right.
I mean, but I didn't, the truth is I did it because it was gross and I thought it was kind of funny and then it caused all kinds of shit. But, and that's kind of the beauty of, that was on Facebook, but that's kind of the beauty and awfulness of it is I had an intention. My intention was I fucked up my arm. It looks gross. It's bruised. It's swollen.
It's something that people might think is interesting, right? Yeah.
And I got back from my mom, if you don't go to a doctor tomorrow, I'm driving up there. First of all, mom, no, you're not. Second of all, you couldn't find my place in three tries if you had to. And she listens to the show occasionally, so we'll find out if she listens to this episode. But
hi, mom.
But yeah, hi, mom. Right.
Hello.
With my now healed arm, or mostly.
His arm looks fine. Don't worry about him.
But
got that weird elbow.
I do have this actually going on. I got the bulge in my elbow. It's kind of gross. But the truth is, to me, Facebook, Steve, actually, we're shockingly agreeing that Facebook is about connecting with friends and family. It is a little creepy how the ads pop in. I've Googled, creatine tablets, and next thing I know, I'm scrolling through my Facebook page. It's like, you might be interested in this creatine brand. I'm like, wow, I just wrote that, and now that ad is on my thing. I don't resent Mark Zuckerberg for that, although I do find it funny that in his early stages, he was all about ads aren't cool. I mean, it's all about the movie The Social Network, and I've read the book Accidental Billionaires, and it's all about how it was supposed to be a cool thing, not a commercial thing, but fucking hey, it's a multi-billion dollar company now. Well,
there's a reason Facebook is free
for users. Because they're making money other ways.
And there's no such thing as a free launch. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to get into the college education. Well, maybe on another episode we'll talk about.
I think that's a great point. That there's no such thing as a free lunch. So the question is, what is the cost to the consumer of Facebook.
Right.
Right. Like, if you're not paying in money, then how are you paying? And it's the, it's time. How much time do you spend
looking at your data and it's your preferences right, and how much, Google searches. Right.
And how much information do they have that's all connected? And how much do they, you know, and that's the part where, you know, people think, oh, it's creepy. Oh, they're spying on you. No, no, kids. They're not spying on you, right?
You're like, volunteering. You're information.
Volunteering. Like, you're not, you didn't read your user agreement. Sure. And you have no
only idea. A lawyer could read that letter, Steve. I want you to read my privacy agreement. Tell me if it's okay to sign it.
You don't want to know his rates.
I know. I was going to say it's probably like $400 an hour. I don't.
No.
For
it's a bottle of whiskey.
I was going to say, you know what? I'll bring you some more of that Parse rum. Maybe we can work something out.
It'll be the boss hog. You'd be
surprised.
But to me, it's like I said, it's about staying. I've had addresses in like 11 different states. Mm-hmm. I'm able to stay in touch with all those people. You know, friends of mine who are going through something, you know, having a baby or going through a personal struggle or whatever, or having fun at a beach or smoking a cigar in Mexico and showing me up because he's in Mexico and I'm here and it's 25 degrees and yes, I'm so pissed at that. But
tell him why you're mad, Jim.
Tell him why you're mad. But that's the beauty of it.
Big mad or little mad?
Yeah, little mad. It was awesome.
Little mad.
He's big mad, huh?
He did an entire show. We did a show once remotely. He was on vacation in Mexico, shirtless, smoking a cigar.
Right.
And I'm like, it's
right. 50 you're in your fucking. In your fucking pajamas.
Right. Bro.
I think
right.
I was also drinking a Corona.
You were.
I might have had a bottle of Maker's Mark or a bottle of tequila with me at the time. Right. It was.
So there's some beef here, but we'll move past that. The point is, we got to have that beef because of the beauty of Facebook.
And right. I wouldn't have that opportunity to have a conversation.
Right. Now, totally different animal is Twitter.
Sure.
And the current president has
mastered it.
To his credit, he has made Twitter a way to get around the media. He can say whatever the fuck he says. And even beyond that, he can say whatever the fuck he says. And the media is going to jump all over it and show it to you. And it's... For lack of a better way of saying it, provable, verifiable.
The media will argue that it is their job to tell you what he says.
It could because they're and again, it goes back.
Are they wrong?
Nope.
No, they're not wrong because it goes back to what we talked about. This is a new platform that we're still navigating the nuances to this. And to your point, the government has made a decision that these are what quote unquote official.
Right.
Presidential
statements.
They're
being
archived. They have to. Yeah, they're being archived. So they have to, I guess to that extent, they have to be reported on.
I mean, because it's essentially like a presidential speech, right?
It is.
I mean, it's just...
There's actually a Twitter account out there that is... I don't recall the handle off the top of my head, but they take his tweets and they frame them on presidential letterhead and say for immediate release from the White House.
They actually have... They're traveling and they're it's like a little... I don't know, like a little traveling show. I'm
sure
not articulating it well, but
there's been some whiskey consumed tonight. Yes. So this happens.
But they're people from I think they're with Comedy Central. It's a couple of comedians. It's
Funny or Die or someone else.
No, I don't know. But they,
you mean
they,
the ones that do it when like in like child like the 3-year-old writing? Those are fun too. Have you ever seen those? Like all the Trump tweets
they do it in cartoon. Right? It's like
Crayola.
Seems like how it started.
Dope.
Like he wrote it in cartoon and then or in crayon and then someone actually typed it out in Twitter.
That's great.
And then who knows what happened with Covfefe.
If you knew what was really going on there. Sorry. That was actually the defense. It was...
But I guess with social media, right? I mean you've got so many different things in play.
Sure.
Right? Because you have what is the mission of the social media company? Right? What is the mission of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you're using.
Sure.
What is their mission, right? And then their ultimate mission is to collect data and to make money.
Yep,
monetize.
Right, and they also, in order to do that, know that they have to feed off of our own inner narcissism.
Sure,
ultimately,
of course.
Right?
Which we all have.
And if you're on social media, right, it's going to be hard to argue that point because. You put stuff now. There's a few people on social media, right? A certain percentage that are there just for the show,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? They don't post anything. There's no picture. You don't know anything about them. Like
lurking.
They maybe their name is Mikey and Waltham, but they
yeah, you're crossing shows.
But maybe they you know like they just kind of hang out and they just kind of like to watch the train wreck, right? But sure. But a majority of the people, they engage. They post the pictures. Why? Because they want someone to like them. They make the statement. Why? Because they want someone to support them.
Sure.
Or they want someone to argue with them, right? And sure. And that's why you do it. I make an intent. Like, when I post something, my thoughts are, you know, especially on Facebook, is knowing who the audience is, close family, close friends, and a few outliers, is make them smile.
Sure.
Right? Or make them think, but probably also try to make them smile.
Sure.
You will very, very rarely see me post anything on Facebook that's overtly negative or
did you consciously recognize as potentially divisive?
Right. Like, yeah. I don't do it. Like, the most political thing is, you know, like, just an observation, like, I saw a homeless guy on the street and my thoughts are this.
Sure.
Right? And it's almost, to me, it's almost like a poet writing a poem, but I'm no poet. Sure. And that's...
Walt Whitman has not been summoned in your spirit.
But I just, like, I just kind of get my thoughts off. I write them down.
You might have a future in poetry, man.
I know you do a little bit, but I do not.
You lift heavy things, but poetry, no.
By the time we see the bottom of that whiskey bottle, he might be a poet.
He may be a rapper someday, and if you call that poetry, fine, but that's his...
I think that's fair.
And that wasn't racist. That was not racist. You're a music guy.
But you're bringing up a really interesting point, and again, it goes back to this notion of validation. When people tweet or they post on Facebook or whatever it is, the expectation is that they're looking for some validation.
Absolutely.
Or they're maybe looking for some. But let me just finish the point. Is just that, you know, it's a bizarre thing, right? That we haven't quite figured out. And, you know, I don't know. I think there's a debate to be had about whether it's healthy or not. But the other thing too is, like, people have an expectation when they participate in this ecosystem that their feelings won't get hurt. And let me tell you something. Your feelings, they're going to get hurt.
Right.
They're going to get fucking
hurt. The expectation should be that my feelings are going to get hurt.
That's what the expectation should be.
That's what it should be.
But people go out with impunity thinking, right, I can say whatever I want and no one's going to challenge me.
See, I don't disagree with that. I think people go out there saying what they want and are inviting a challenge because of the same thing that you were saying.
Well, but that's what we're saying. That should be their thought process.
I think it is most of the time.
Well, no.
They're
because,
just looking for validation.
Well, it's one thing to expect a challenge, but it's a whole other thing to actually be, you know, cut down and kind of served with the same thing that you're serving. Right? I mean, and you see this probably more so with liberals than anything, right? Progressives and liberals.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Like, they will go out and they will go on the full attack. I'm going to call you this. I'm going to call you that. And you're Hitler,
you're a Nazi,
and
you're
Satan,
right.
And Jesus. There is no God, but if there was a God, he hates you, and everything you think is wrong.
Right.
Right? And then the other person's just like, God, you're a bitch.
You said bitch.
Pearl clutch, right?
Although, allow me to throw an example. This is anecdotal, one time. But I was involved in a fight in politics on a very conservative group of friends. I was the one liberal who saw something in there, couldn't take it, jumped in, and I was going out with a guy who I know. And there was like two other people in this thread that knew me and 30 people involved. So 28 wanted a piece of me. And I was in one of those moods and I'm like, I was hockey goon. You were a hockey player.
Yes.
I was hockey goon. I'm like, gloves are off. Who wants it?
Right.
And this one woman jumped into my face. It was about the environment.
Okay.
And she jumped in and said, since God is going to decide when the world is going to end, it doesn't really matter what we do. And I replied.
So that's totally irrationality. She said
God determines when the world's going to end. So what we do with things doesn't matter.
Assuming that she's right about that, which is absurd.
And I replied, "You're a silly person." And she said, "You're mean. You called names." I'm like, "I called you silly. I didn't call you a dopey cunt, which is what I wanted to call you."
You used an adjective.
I just described silly.
And by
the
way,
you
didn't call her names.
What
you
said
her
was silly.
Would say that's silly.
Silly is what I would say to a
five-year-old. And I'm a conservative, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, like,
I would say that's a silly thing to say.
It was a really silly thing to say.
And it's, you know, that's probably one of the most frustrating parts, right? And one of the things I try to avoid engaging in on social media is the back and forth and the name calling. And
once
a person breaks down and says, all right, well, you're this or you're that, then it's just like, all right, cool, I'm out. You know, I mean, it's just like, this is literally just social media. We're not going to solve anything, resolve it. If that's the level that you want to go to, then fine. See you later. I don't need this.
Right.
Steve, you're up against a hard stop, and I want to get your question. Do you think I was inappropriate by calling this woman silly?
No. Okay. No, I mean, it's, okay, there's levels to this shit, right?
Sure.
And calling a woman a silly person, okay, fine. Like, had you call her a tenacious bitch or
a dopey cunt, is where cunt, which or I whatever, didn't say.
Then that's a different story. You know, but what I wanted to say is, you know, Instagram is unique from Twitter and Facebook because Instagram's whole thing is pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's
sure.
all about pictures.
Image-driven, sure.
Right? It's all image-driven and video and look and everything. And you put it out there and you put every single person who puts something on Instagram, they put it out there and 5 minutes later they're looking at how many likes do I have?
You know? Absolutely.
And that's, you know, how many likes, how many comments.
It's that validation and thing. That
right? It's 100% about validation. And sometimes I can argue that you need that. Do you need it on social media? No. But every now and again, as humans, we do need validations that it's okay to be who we are.
And that's sure. the whole, again, bringing it back full circle, that's what the initial point of this conversation was, that this is something so new to us sociologically that we don't understand how to handle it. Like, we've got a weaponized, you know, like nuclear fucking, you know, level tool here in our hands with regard to
social
media.
And we have no idea what to do with it.
We have no idea how to use it. And it's affecting
us psychologically. And we're letting everybody gets to use it.
And we're seeing, what are we seeing happen? We're seeing depression rates go higher. We're seeing people that are taking drugs as a result.
Suicidal.
We're seeing people shooting up fucking schools and shit, right? I mean, so we're seeing some
crazy shit on Facebook.
I'm not directly blaming social media. What I'm blaming is the psychology surrounding it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I'm not like blaming Mark Zuckerberg for the fact that somebody shut up a fucking church in, you know, South Carolina or something like that. But the point is that it's a collective, you know, it's almost like the, right? It's a collective.
Ben, what you're saying is indisputable. It is.
Yeah.
And this is a slightly off-topic thing, but when that dude went on the rampage in Cleveland and then fled to Erie, it was a thickly built black man with a beard who posted on Facebook Live and murdered people, and reports started popping up that this person was seen in this place, this place, and this place. One of those places he was seen was Baltimore, and Steve had flown to Baltimore that day. And when that came out, I didn't call you. I remember I was going to. I'm like, eh, but your dad did.
Yeah.
And it was like, Steve, they're describing someone who looks like you. We know you're not the guy doing this, but be careful
because aware.
People might
shoot.
And so social media, and that's good and bad, right?
And there were multiple people who reached out and said, listen, no, it's not you. The guy doesn't actually look like you,
but he was a thick black man with a beard.
Right. There was enough there to where there was legitimate concern that overzealous cop looks at me and says, oh, you're the guy from Facebook, right?
Sure.
And then that guy, he also posted the murder on Facebook Live, right? And so the question is, what gets him to that place? Is it just the pressure of all the things he had going on, and then he watches, whatever he's watching on Facebook leads him to believe that this is his best option? Right, and then the idea that, all right, I'm gonna murder this man and go on the run, but I'm gonna put it on Facebook. The fact that Facebook is in that thought process, right?
Yeah, like, tells us, events,
how can you control it?
Right, like,
Facebook,
I mean,
and
it's just like, how do we can't remove that from people unless we just say, you know what, overall, it doesn't serve a good enough purpose for society, so we have to ban it. Right, which sounds gross.
Yeah,
and
gets Orwellian.
But
here's the fucked up thing. That guy posted that for the same reason somebody posts their daughter's.
Yes.
Yeah.
He posted it for the same reason.
For the exact same
and
reason.
Would he have done the same thing without that platform? We don't know.
He wouldn't even have the option if he didn't have the platform.
Right.
Well,
that's not to impugn Facebook, right?
Well, I guess the question is, does it, like, let's say there's no possibility for him to post on a live stream, right? It doesn't exist.
Right.
Then does he still completely lose his shit and shoot that guy in the middle of the street? You know, I mean, because...
We don't know.
And to what extent did he lose his shit outside of social media? I mean, again, we could talk about fucking, you know, GMOs and fucking, you know, psychological drugs and SSRIs and stuff like that.
GMOs are something that I think are the most overplayed things by liberals ever, but okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, sure, you could make any number of arguments as to why the guy lost his shit.
You can, I mean,
yeah, why did GMOs he lose his shit, right? Is it like, is it Alec Jones and he drank fluoride or some shit like that? You know what I'm saying?
Are the frogs gay now because of...
Yeah, I mean, are we talking about gay frogs here? What are we talking about? We're talking about a person that's motivated by... You know, again, this ecosystem, this virtual ecosystem that we've created, that's only been part of our culture for a short period of time, that we still haven't fundamentally understood and gotten our arms around, and it's become weaponized. It's not only become weaponized politically; it's become weaponized socially
and internationally.
So I get, you know, people that disagree with me as it relates to characterizing social media in a negative context. And look, and I'm a hyper...
And you're a guy who characterizes social media in negative context.
That's right.
I mean, you're only on Twitter for that very reason.
But I'm a participant, right?
Right,
you're right.
Sure.
You're right. I only participate in where I do have a level of anonymity. But... And it's not that I'm hiding behind anything. It's just that I
don't
understand the risks.
Bullshit,
that's typically what male strippers do. It makes sense.
He's talking about how good-looking I am. I understand.
He does kind of look like Tom Cruise, doesn't he?
He does.
You do kind of Tom Cruise. You've heard that before. I guarantee you have.
I've heard it before, yeah.
And it's not an insult.
Listen,
I've been told I look like Rob Corddry is what I've been told. So you win. And fuck you, Steve.
I love it.
No, actually, but the best one I've ever got was Pitbull's older brother, which
you
from Steve.
You just got to wear sunglasses.
They told me I need to get rid of the gray. Steve's comment was... Get Just for Men, and you can be Pitbull's younger brother. Yeah. Till then, you're his older brother. Wild. And that was an 8-year-old comment, so now I'm the older brother.
Steve, do
we need to bid you adieu?
Yeah, actually, I got to jump out.
All right. We'll continue. And
you guys continue.
Sure.
A lot of fun.
Yes, sir. We are... All right, so Steve had to leave us, but we still have Ben. We still have whiskey. We've been drinking all kinds of stuff tonight. Some of my homebrew is flowing, which... I always enjoy sharing, so.
And I will say that, you know, Jim, the homebrew is as far as I'm concerned, it's as good as I've tasted. Anybody producing their own brewer at home, it's not exactly an easy process, but this is legit. It's a little more malty. It's not as hoppy, and I appreciate that.
And I try to make it smooth. I try to make it taste good. One of the funny things about homebrewers is that, first of all, I started homebrewing in 1999.
Sure.
When,
before
that sounds like
cool.
Before
it
was cool, yeah.
Yeah,
move your mic a little closer to your mouth.
Oh.
Closer, not farther. Not
all
closer.
Right,
sorry.
Sounds totally different.
It is
I'm on
totally
a new
different.
Mic.
We're on a new mic. Yeah. We changed some things up. But thank you. I am proud of my brewing skills. But anyway... Back to the whole point of social media. So you're very limited in your social media access. Steve is kind of cynical in his.
Right.
I'm very much into Facebook for the reasons that we talked about. Like, I love the fact I can stay in touch with friends all over the country, all over the world.
Sure.
And know what's going on in their lives. The data mining thing doesn't bother me as much as it seems to bother a lot of people. And one thing I wanted to say before Steve left is, when you're talking about getting your data mined and your interest mined and your you know, preferences figured out. What do you think you're doing when you scan your card at the grocery store, right?
Sure.
You're scanning a card that says, here's who I am, here's where I live, here's my phone number, and here's what I'm buying.
Right.
And that's what Facebook's doing, just in a different level.
Well, to be clear, I don't think a large percentage of Facebook users really even have an issue with the idea that their data is being monetized. Right. I mean, I think a lot of people are just like, fine, whatever. You know, I'm just living my life. You know, take whatever data you can extrapolate from my day to day. And if you can monetize it, great. I don't think a lot of people necessarily have an issue with it inherently. And I'm talking about a vast percentage of the population that's not even thinking about
issues. You know, I think younger people know what's happening and don't care. And I think... Older people, and I'm 48. I'm not counting myself as older, even though I probably should. But people in my parents' generation feel like they're being spied upon. And,
sure.
And so why do you stay away from Facebook?
Because the downside risks outweigh the upside risks.
In terms of professional stuff, just you don't want
to... Just everything. I mean, I don't gain anything out of people. Again, it goes back to the notion, and again, we all agreed on this, the three of us, even though we have very different political backgrounds, we all agreed on the idea that people post with the inherent understanding and hope that they get validation out of it.
Sure.
So it's a drug.
But there's also the troll factor. And I think the troll factor is much bigger on Twitter, because Twitter does have anonymity. And I have a friend from back home, younger guy, love the guy, but we were hanging out, I go to Buffalo for Christmas every year, and we were just hanging out at his new house, having a beer, and he was showing me his 49 Twitter accounts.
Are you serious?
I thought so,
dude,
too.
Dude, I have one. I have one Twitter account.
Well, he had one that he used to troll Buffalo sports people. He had one that he used to troll this.
This is like Kyrie Irving calling into a radio station. It's the same exact thing that we talked about.
We talked about it in a previous episode. Yeah, exactly.
But it's the same concept.
Actually, right? I think it's worse, because Kyrie talking about Kyrie is kind of like a guy trying to dangle his, you know, personal situation in a different light.
Sure.
But when someone just says, I'm a random person, I'm going to call myself Trump
man. They're misrepresenting themselves.
Or worse yet, they're representing themselves accurately, but don't have the decency to say, this is how I feel. Sure, so they say, I'm Trump man 48 and I'm Obama man 69 and we're going to fight each other. And the guy says, you know, on purpose, I'm a douchebag. But, you know, the whole, you know, slap an anonymous picture and a name that sends a personal or specific angle on things, and then to hide behind that anonymously and say things that you would never have the balls to say in public.
Sure.
Yeah. Or worse yet, looking someone in the eye.
As
a comic, I'm a huge fan of Louis C.K., which I've gotten beaten up for, because he's made some decisions that were perhaps not right. And I could go down that road and why it's been spun awkwardly, but won't go there right now. But, Louis, he talks about it when he's in his car. You know, someone will stop too soon and be like, you piece of shit, I hope you die. I'm like, if I was an elevator with that person, I would never look him in the eye and say, you piece of shit, I hope you die. You know, it's a human being when they're right next to you.
What you're talking about is exactly what we talked about earlier with regard to the entire ecosystem of social media. Because there's no physical consequences to anything you say or do.
Right.
You're dealing with people on a virtual level, right? So like, you know, again, you're right. Yeah, if you're in an elevator with someone, and I don't even care about their physical imposition or anything like that. I'm just talking about the idea that this is all, there's zero consequences.
Sure. One of the great things about these mics is they can pick up the sound of whiskey getting poured. Isn't that awesome?
And by the way, he's pouring
Black
Dog blended Scotch whiskey from
Reserve from India, which you pointed out is not actually from India.
It's from Scotland, but it's from. But no, look, and I'm drinking, you know, Jim's really incredible homebrew at this point.
You have no idea how much I appreciate that, but yeah, I've put a lot of. Another thing about it, I've now been homebrewing for 20 years.
Honestly,
thanks for making me feel old.
You've obviously refined the art of it.
Actually, I used to be much better at it. I used to be so much more passionate about it.
You're excellent. Ben, this is really good.
When I was really into my homebrewing stage, I would typically have at least 4 different varieties of beer and at least 6 cases of beer in my house at any given time. And when I didn't, it bothered me. Yeah. Right now, we're down to about 1.5 cases because I don't drink beer as much as I used to. And partially because I drink more whiskey and more wine. But I got to brew something new soon. So next time we have you in town.
I can't wait to see the next brew. Yeah.
You've earned the Steve welcome anytime thing, which does not happen often or... I said with one exception ever.
That's actually news, right? That's news here on the bus. I've been offered a.
That is whiskey podcast news.
Yeah,
that's whiskey Congress podcast.
An open invitation.
Open invitation, and the fact that I couldn't even say the name of my own fucking show right says we should shut this down soon. So let's do closing statements.
Sure.
What if you were to name the biggest advantage of social media, or 2 or 3? I don't like to put it down to name your top one, but the best things about social media and the worst ones, what would you say?
Well, there's the interconnectedness, obviously, that people value. And I think that's, if you, 9 out of 10 people that you ask, why do you, value social media? Why do you enjoy it? Why do you participate? It's generally 9 out of 10 times. It's because I can connect with people that I'm geographically, we have disparity.
Sure.
You know, I can aggregate photos and things like that with ease. You know, what they'd never even consider or even think about is our privacy issues, like what we've discussed. So, you know, the upside is very kind of, you know, in some ways, you know, kind of, I don't know if narcissist is the right word, but I mean, I would kind of say maybe it's more like, you know, kind of an egocentric thing.
I would say connective. I'm going to be Mr. Positive guy. I say you get to connect with people who want to connect with you with relatively little effort and almost no expense, if not no expense other than time.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an egocentric thing. I mean, maybe you want to have your network and you want to be able to curate that. We haven't even gotten into that, and we could talk another 30 minutes for that just in terms of...
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, in terms of, you know, curating content and perpetuating a perspective of yourself.
Is it not a truth or a falsity, right? I mean,
right.
I can forward... We've talked before, and neither of us are fans of Donald Trump, but there was a thing flying around that Donald Trump said... If I'm going to run for president, I'm going to run as a Republican because they're so fucking stupid or something to that effect.
Sure.
And that got put on social media as a fact. It's something he had tweeted out, whatever. Well,
I'm turns not even out sure he ever said that.
He didn't.
Yeah.
No. I know for a fact he did not.
Right.
It was a false thing.
Right.
But it's easy to spread truth and it's easy to spread fallacies when you have tools, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or other...
Right. So the point I was making was just that... You know, people, you know, when you, and again, this kind of goes more to the sociological aspects of social media and that people curate images of themselves.
Oh, okay, well, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So take the politics out of it. It's like there's this curated image of yourself as, you know, whatever your virtual presence is, which can be very much skewed from what the reality of it is.
Absolutely.
So that was the only aspect I was going to make there. But in terms of, you know, a closing statement, I would just say that, you know, social media's benefits are very clear. Everybody knows what they are. It's an opportunity to stand on a soapbox, a virtual soapbox, and be able to propagate and amplify a message that you otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to do. And at the same time, connect with friends, family, etc., you know, former colleagues across a broad geography that you otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to do. But the downside is something that's much more de-emphasized that people don't give consideration to. I mean, we talked about the way some of these organizations monetize the data and in some cases completely undermine users' privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a concern. But the other issue is, what does it do to us psychologically? And I think that's the real issue.
That is a very legitimate point. Yeah. That's an incredibly legitimate point.
I think that's, and again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier when it comes to validation. I mean, think about the motivation behind even participating in this ecosystem, right? Which can be a very toxic ecosystem. We agree on
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I think my final thoughts on it is just, you know, look, I recognize the upside. I participate in this ecosystem on some level. But I just think it's important to understand all of the downside and try to not only understand the downside, but try to understand how we can, you know, kind of improve on it, how we can, you know, operate as more responsible users of this platform. Again, social media in of itself is something that's very new to us culturally,
sure.
Sociologically,
sure.
Right? 10 years tops, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been around a bit longer than that, but it's become... the wave of what we are. And if you look at what Facebook's intention was, mm-hmm. it was literally to make the internet how you lived, how you communicated. And whether you like it or not, it succeeded in that way to a large degree.
Facebook's origins came from the Harvard Connection, campus.
Yeah, absolutely, yep.
And it was just simply a way to, you know, look at, like, freshmen's face pages.
Well, that's true, but a bit unfair. Yes, that's what Mark Zuckerberg did that got him in a shitload of trouble. Actually, kind of got him almost kicked out of
Harvard. It's not even trouble. It's just the fact
that... No, he almost got kicked out of Harvard for it.
Well, the point is that it was very superficial in its first iteration.
Yes.
But now that it's been propagated and now that it's been broadly adopted...
Evolved. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're understanding the social consequences. So I think it's important to think about that and be self-reflective about it, because I don't think we're self-reflective enough about it. We just participate like kind of in a zombie mode. Like there's no, right?
There are no consequence, no whatever. Yeah. Which brings me to a point. In fact, let's close on this, because a topic that has come up on the show in the past is when professional people put stuff on their personal pages and suffer professional consequences. That's an awkward spot to me. So there was a story that came out not that long ago about the Philadelphia police force, and like, I think it was 72 officers were suspended with pay, because whenever police officers get suspended with pay, and that's what unions do, and that's a whole different discussion. But they were suspended for things that they said on social media, I think almost exclusively Facebook, that were deemed racist
and off color.
And again, another side topic is what is racist and what is deemed racist. We can discuss that for hours.
It's a subjective thing.
It is very subjective. But I have very funny thoughts about that, because I mean, again, I'm 48 years old. I remember what it was like in the late 80s,
You're
early
a very
90s.
Young man, by the way.
I'm like, yeah, thank you. I yeah. Tell that to my hips. The fact is that, you know, in 1994, when I graduated from college.
Thinking of Rodney King thing?
That was 93. Okay. Or no, sorry, that was 92.
I was just trying to make a frame of reference. Yeah, 92. The time reference.
It was April 1992.
Yeah.
But there was no social media. So right. If I said the most ridiculous, obscene, racist shit ever.
But you'd be saying it in
a... I'd be saying it to a person sitting next to me at a bar.
Yeah,
and the worst thing
vacuum,
that happened... Right. The worst thing that happens is the guy two seats down from me hears what I'm saying and says,
Or like had a journalist, like, recorder or some shit, right? I mean, there was
unlikely.
I mean, vastly unlikely.
But Ben, that's the change in the world. That's not even social media. That's
everything
just a change in technology.
Everything you say now is captured. I mean, you and I having this conversation right now is going to be... It's in posterity.
We're choosing to publish this.
That's right. And I'm 100% a willing participant.
Me too. But the fact is, if you and I sat on my front porch and had another drink and said something
ridiculous,
whatever,
yeah,
and my neighbor happened to hear it and happened to have a phone that had the proper microphone and video aperture,
sure,
they could record that.
Sure.
They could put that on social media, and you and I are saying, you know, I think... Donald Trump. In fact, let me change gears a little bit.
Sure.
And throw something at you that I found kind of repulsive.
Sure.
The other day, Trump said that Melania is the next Jackie O.
Right.
And a friend of mine on Facebook, a person I like, mm-hmm, posted a picture of Jackie Onassis at John Kennedy's funeral, black veil and everything.
Sure.
And said, "Let's hope so." And I found that...
insinuating that he should die.
Yeah. I found that revolting. Now, I made it very clear. I can't stand Donald Trump. You've made it clear, even though you're a Republican and a conservative, you're not a fan of the man. But saying, let's hope he dies, let's hope the president dies, that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
And to put that on social media is fucked up. She chose to do that. And I know she's a very passionate feminist, and she's had a really interesting... personal history, and I respect that she's been through some shit.
Sure.
But I think that was a very bad choice of a lot of things.
This is a...
Should that cost her professionally?
No, of course it shouldn't, in that she should have a better understanding of the fact that this is something that she'll be evaluated upon.
Okay, but is it fair to evaluate her on
that? You asked me earlier why I'm not on Facebook.
That's why I'm feeding you.
So you've already answered my own question for myself.
I'm letting you say it.
No, you can say it for me. You already did with that question.
You shouldn't put yourself out there with shit like that, because it could come back and bite you in the ass.
No, it's not even that. Why would you take the risk? What's the upside? Like, what's the benefit of Facebook? Tell me about why I should be on Facebook, because I don't see any benefit whatsoever. In fact, all I see is downside. That's why I'm not a participant.
Okay. You know, Ben, I'm not trying to sell you.
No, I'm not.
I know you're not.
I'm just responding to your question.
I get why you're not there, and I will get why where this woman that I'm friends with said that thing, and I.
What do you mean that thing? She said that she used that.
She
exact...
reposted. She posted that. Let's hope so. She posted a meme.
But she did it with the intent. She did it with the intent of aggravating people.
Yes. Or like you said before, being validated. There were plenty of people who were like, "Atta girl, I hope so too." And I'm like,
but she has no self awareness in terms of her professional stature and how it might reflect
based on her personal career. It probably won't hurt her, but then there's the butterfly effect. Like, if I shared that, if I reposted that, if I liked it,
that's a legit,
should I be judged by that? Probably, maybe, I don't know.
But that's a nuance that we haven't quite figured out yet, right?
And that's back to your point of this is a very new thing.
It is. It's still a new thing.
And it's evolving quickly. And I do believe one of the things that Steve and I talk about on the show all the time is the misinterpretation of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. People say, I have freedom of speech.
But yeah, you don't have freedom of consequences.
Right. Yes. You have the freedom to say really awful things and not get prosecuted for them. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences for what you say. And that is the most overly misquoted, misstated, social political right ever. It's like, I have freedom of speech. Yeah, you can say, I hope this awful thing happens to this person I don't like. But if you say it in the office and that person's your boss and they say, you know what, you just told me to die in a fire.
See, you're talking about something that's so fundamental because like people want to think in a binary way across the board. And like
I'm going to throw something, sorry to interrupt you, but people don't want to think. They want to not have to think. They want to
But a binary landscape they want makes a binary it landscape, easier to think, right?
Or to not think, right? Just like, I can do this. I cannot. I don't have to actually put some thought into what's going on here.
Right. So to your point, in that example, it kind of goes to, you know, think about these other binary aspects where it's like, hey, you know, you either love Donald Trump or you hate Barack Obama. I mean, it's one or the other. You can't choose. There's no such thing as middle ground, right?
It's certainly, there's a lot more feet behind the either side than the middle ground. And the middle ground needs to come back.
Sure. No, I agree with
that. I know you do. I'm not trying to put that on you. Just
yeah, no, but it, I mean, there's a, you know, to your point, I think there's a desire to make things so simple, mm-hmm. so basic and binary. It's either A or B, you know, it's Pepsi or Coke.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, that's not the way that reality works.
Right.
And it's across the board. It's not just in that case, but it's also in the case of, again, when we're talking about politics, when we're talking about race, when we're talking about social media, any number of ways we can penetrate that issue. And it's a shame.
It's a constantly evolving issue that we frankly are in uncharted territory. And it's evolving as we speak. I mean, if you look at what Facebook was at its inception, like you said, it started off as people in Harvard trying to fuck other people in Harvard.
Right.
And now it's taking over the world. And here's why. I'm going to do a little quick closing thing on Facebook in particular social media, and I'll let you do the same. And let's wrap this up and drink some more whiskey. And then, you know, Steve makes fun of my end of show stroke face occasionally. We're not there yet.
That's fine. He's too verbose. I know Jim's in here. He's trying to, and I talk too much.
You are awesome. Ben, I'm loving this. I'm fucking loving this. Right. But to me, Facebook is an opportunity or a way to stay in touch with people that otherwise I would only be in touch with if I picked up a phone and called 40 different people, you know, once a month, twice a week, whatever. Instead, I know, oh shit, you were just in Denver doing this. Oh, you were just doing this. And I find that amazing.
Right.
And I find it amazing that I can, you know what's going on because they can post, hey, there's this event going on at this bar in Cleveland tonight. And if you want to go watch, you know, the international soccer game, we're doing this and this is our thing. I think that's awesome from both a personal and a commercial level.
Right.
I think Twitter is a different animal altogether, mm-hmm. good and bad. It's because it allows so much anonymity and it doesn't like make you own an account. It opens the door for like, sure. my friend the troll with 49 accounts, which is, I agreed, fucking nuts, but right. he likes to stir the pot and he sure. knows who he is. And then there's the Instagrams and the which is more about kind of what you were saying, like, look at me, and nothing wrong with it.
You it's know, more self-aggrandizing.
Self-aggrandizing, yeah. exhibitionism, whatever.
Sure.
But it is the world we live in.
Sure.
And I think in a lot of ways it's a better world, but there's plenty of bad that comes with it in the greater scheme. There's no black and white.
So I just want to understand your point.
Go ahead.
So you're saying, in your view, that overall the social benefit and the cultural benefit, those are two distinct benefits, by the way.
Yes.
I just want to make sure we understand. Agreed. But in your view, those two benefits outweigh any downside, in your view?
Outweigh, but I'm aware of the downside, yes.
Okay. I think that has yet to bear out. I think you're absolutely right that there are obviously upside benefits, and I think we all enjoy those now. But we're only now scratching the surface on the downside.
True.
You pointed out, you brought up a great example. You talked about a friend of yours that lost her job because of something she posted on social media. Which
The one with the Trump thing? She didn't lose her job.
Or she wasn't passed over for a job.
No, I was passed over for a job. Right. I was, and that's speculation. I got into a political fight.
But would you not agree that there's people that out there that have, I mean, there's fucking people that have gone to jail for shit. I mean, you know, the notion of accountability, right? We talked about it as it relates to social accountability, meaning like somebody like quote unquote owning you, right? Or like making you, shaming you publicly.
Sure.
That's one thing. But people losing their fucking job. I mean, that happens too, right?
It does.
And sometimes.
Oh, wait, sorry. You're talking about the police. In Philly, losing their jobs, I think I did.
Or no. I'm just talking about it in general. Like somebody might post a controversial opinion or an unpopular opinion,
right?
That might be viewed as something.
I think that cost me a job opportunity. Not, right. I didn't get fired for it, but I was like their number one candidate, and then they didn't want to talk to me. And I don't know. That's why, but
difficult to chalk it up to coincidence.
Exactly.
But the point is, you know, you had asked me about my participation in other formats of social media. And again, the only reason that I do participate in Twitter is because there is a level of anonymity, albeit a thin one. Because generally, look, but most of the people, I mean, a lot of my good friends and stuff, they all know who the fuck I am. I mean, this is not a fucking,
right.
you know, I'm not a ghost
right.
here.
You just don't want to get Googled and have it pop up.
Exactly.
That
I got drunk
with Jim and Steve at Whiskey Congress. And
yeah, I'm not going to overtly tell people, like, here's what my first and last name is, here's what I
right.
do for a living.
Right.
If you're that much of a psychopath and, like, that jerked off about, I gotta know who this guy is.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're right.
You know, people do, I mean, and people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that I haven't then received communication from people that do that. I mean, sometimes it's weird, but, I mean, we're living in this new reality where
right.
you have to think about those potential downsides.
And throw the Me Too reality of, if I say this, then could this come back? I mean, as you know, I do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
When I'm doing stand-up, I say shit that's revolting at times.
Sure.
And I say it because I hope it's funny. But, you know, should I be held accountable at my job as an engineer for me? So I do a joke about, you know, we talked, in the previous time you were on the show, we talked about the Middle East and how much that a mess that is.
Sure.
I cannot stand the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia from a political standpoint. I do a joke all the time about how I can't stand Saudi Arabia and how oppressive it is, how, you know, unaccepting it is, and you know, gay people can be murdered for being gay. I find that disgusting. And women couldn't drive on their own without getting beaten until last year. So the one thing they used to get right, now they fucked that up. And I've been booed for that. And I love being booed for that. I'm doing that joke to piss people off because I think it's fucking funny. And yes, I'm making a cheesy joke about women can't drive. But in theory, that could come back to bite me in the ass, right? I'm doing stand-up comedy. I put that on Facebook. Someone could say, that son of a bitch Jim thinks that women can't drive.
But that's the beauty of comedy. The beauty of comedy is that you can take things and create a juxtaposition where people are like, they completely reevaluate something that they might have had an emotional connection to.
Right.
And you know, to your point, in terms of like the irony of it all, the absurdity of it all, I think that's what comedy's all about.
And I'm making a joke that it's a cheesy, easy joke that I'm, like I said, acting all like, you know, pro-Western, pro-liberal, pro-woman.
And then you just whack them with it.
And I fucking love that joke.
But that's great because it's irony and it's
snarkiness and whatever. And at the end of the day, do I think, you know, women can't drive? Of course not. Although,
they're really bad at it, though.
In general, they are.
Can we be honest about it? But no, but I mean, going back
to... Let's punt it.
But the last point I'll make, look, when it comes to social media, we've got an unprecedented participation in an ecosystem that we don't fully understand. And right. I think it's so important to understand just that in terms of being participants in the ecosystem, right?
Right.
Like we have all these expectations. Remember what we talked about earlier about people having an expectation that their feelings won't get hurt. I mean, if you're going to come out in social media and have an opinion about anything, yes, you're going to see dissension. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily something you should take personal offense to. And again, I think I'll just make one other point, irrespective of this, which is that being offended is a choice. I think that's an important thing.
I don't know if it's a reaction.
You're not a slave to your emotions as a human being.
I think some people are.
Well, those are not well-adjusted adults.
You're not wrong there.
Okay. Most well-adjusted adults, we understand stimuli and we understand how to react to it. And we can control our emotions. And I would say that's very, have we devolved that far that it's hopeful that that's the case? Because I would say most adults should actually be able to handle that stuff.
You said should. Do you think they do?
Of course I don't. Are you serious? I'm on Twitter.
Sorry for the clap, but exactly. You're saying what I just said is not actually reflecting the populace as a whole.
No, it's what we should. It's what the ideal should be.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And I do think that that's an important point when it comes to this whole social media conversation because there's an aspect that doesn't line up with reality.
And Ben, I've loved this conversation very much, and we will have you back on soon.
I appreciate it.
Oddly, this may get published after we've had you back like 5 times, but we'll see. Anyway, Ben, enjoyed it so much. Drinking with you has been great. Talking with you has been great. Let's shut this down. Throw Jim, your Twitter out there man. Again.
Existential. EXIS10TIAL. Appreciate everybody. And certainly Jim and Steve. It's been an absolute pleasure. This has just been so much fun.
And thank you very much for coming. Thank you again for the phenomenal whiskey you provided us. And we are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. Good night. We are out.